Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, February 19th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
It's going especially better that you're back because I made a mockery of the beginning of the show yesterday.
You know, I'm going to say you didn't make a mockery of the show because
you did a good job, Brian.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that you were able to cover for me when I needed to not be here.
Yeah, fair enough. But it's good to have you back.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for filling in for me yesterday. You, sir, rock. And John Martellaro, you rock too. How are you today?
Well, thank you. I am splendiferous.
That's absolutely fantastic. Or splendiferous, alacious. Yeah. So, I know the topic that's kind of dominated this week is the court order that the FBI won that will compel Apple to create a modified version of iOS where they can bypass the brute force password attack security measures that are in place right now. And we're carrying on with that today. Although what we have right now is something that's a little bit different in that we have a former CIA and NSA director, Michael Comey, Michael Hayden. James General. Comey is in charge of the FBI.
General Hayden.
Yes, General Michael Hayden. And he was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, where they asked him specifically about end-to-end encryption. I'll work on my diction, I promise. And he had some interesting comments and perspective on this whole thing. And it does relate directly to what Apple is dealing with right now with its fight with the FBI. And the video is really cool. Brian, you've been watching this video very closely. I'm really curious. What do you think?
Well, I'm on hour 7 now of my close watching of the 7-minute video. it's interesting because the first and foremost thing that's interesting is that here we have someone in the intelligence business who is saying that we need strong encryption and that the FBI is wrong. He actually specifically said James Comey is wrong.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
But what I loved about the entire 7-minute interview is just how honest he is. He's very matter of fact that encryption makes it harder for people like James Comey to do their job. But on the balance of things, strong encryption makes America stronger, and it's therefore it's worth it. And he says that strong encryption also makes the National Security Agency's job easier, despite the fact that it makes it harder. Right? Am I getting that aspect of it right? Is that he said that if you narrow it down to just our mission, mm-hmm. it makes our mission easier.
Which makes sense because the same encryption that the FBI right now wants to weaken is what they're using.
Yeah, well, it's not that. It's that it protects us against them, not against them in this case being foreign nationals.
Right. So we don't want this encryption to be weaker.
No, we have a lot of business. See, let's look at it just commercially. We have a lot of business secrets. We have a lot of intellectual property. There's a lot of stuff that is invented here in the United States. And we need that stuff not to be stolen by foreign agents, be them criminal agents, criminal hackers, foreign intelligence services, foreign military agencies like that operate out of China that steal industrial secrets for the profit of Chinese companies. I mean, it, not to mention, you know, the enormous number of Russian hackers that are out there. We need our stuff protected. And of course, we, the people, also need our stuff protected from, you know, just keeping our bank accounts from being stolen and the logins to all our websites and things like that. I mean, all that stuff needs to be protected. And General Hayden is saying bluntly and clearly, we need this, and that James Comey is wrong.
Actually, what you were saying, Brian, is there's an encryption economy. There is an economy, world economy, U.S. economy, that is based on security and trust. And if that were blown up, then the economy of the United States would be in trouble too.
Yeah, well, we'd lose our edge. You know, any edge that we have would be gone.
Yeah, meanwhile, I read the other day that on GitHub, I think it was, there's 6,500 different encryption packages that are publicly available that the bad guys would just keep on using.
Yeah, that was John Keat wrote about that in his piece about Reuters, right, in China.
Right.
You know, encryption is out of the genie bottle. And James Comey cannot stuff it back in. He can try. And if it succeeds in trying, it won't succeed, and we'll all be screwed.
You know, I liked what General Hayden said about Jim Comey, in regards to Jim Comey's stance on encryption right now, which is that, first, if he were in Mr. Comey's place, he would be saying the same things, because that's part of what the job entails. But also that Mr. Comey has the wrong perspective on the whole information and communication and encryption world. And his feeling is that the FBI, in this case, is the main body, and that everything that's happening outside of the main body would be like limbs. And so the limbs need to respond to the core main body. And in fact, it's the other way around. Us as the end users, we are that core main body, and the FBI needs to respond appropriately to that.
Yeah, that was really, I found that section, although your version of it is extremely convoluted
and convoluted
compared to what General Hayden said. But I found that aspect of it particularly insightful, and I hope that it is a message that resonates with both politicians and law enforcement and people. And, you know, it's important to have a voice like this coming out. General Hayden was first appointed by Bill Clinton, but mm-hmm. he was, and that was to the NSA, to be director of the NSA. And then George W. Bush appointed him to head the CIA afterwards, and then made him a national intelligence advisor after that, meaning that he has a bipartisan background. He was supported by both sides in our, you know, bipolar country.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and he is a well-respected voice in many, many circles, and I hope that what he says resonates.
I hope so, too. I liked that he boiled down the whole debate to, if we lose encryption, we lose strength in America. We weaken our country.
What I liked about him was that I could see the intelligence. I could see the twinkle in the eye. I could see the perspective. I could see his education. Sometimes when you watch a politician, you just see a blank stare or a thousand-yard stare where they just kind of parrot things and just kind of throw stuff out there, and you don't see an underlying level of intelligence and perspective that kind of shines through in there as they articulate it. Hayden was especially good at that. And I really liked him.
Well, and to be fair, he's not a politician. He's a former military guy who was a career professional in the intelligence business. And that does not make him a politician.
No, but it does put him in a position where he's very well qualified to talk about encryption and security.
Yes.
Yes. So I really like seeing someone from the intelligence community stepping forward and saying, hey, look, weakening encryption is a bad idea. It's more than just a political statement coming from him. It's more than just companies that may have other motives for wanting to keep something secure stepping forward and speaking. It's good to have someone from outside of those circles that's knowledgeable stepping up and saying, yeah, this is a really bad idea.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, related to this whole thing, we have news that Apple is getting an extension on their deadline to reply to the court order. So originally they were set to have a deadline, which would be on...
it's a five-day deadline originally.
Yeah, originally a five-day deadline. So that would put it on Tuesday the 23rd?
By our calculations, yes.
And now they have till the 26th. So instead of having to have a response into the court at the beginning of next week, they have till the end of next week. That may not seem like much, but when you're talking about the amount of time that Apple's legal team is putting into this response, adding on those extra couple days, that's a really big deal. Apple's going to be able to do a lot to shore up their defense during that time.
It also gives them the weight of people weighing in, like General Hayden.
True. And for any company or other entity that wants to file an amicus brief before Apple's response is submitted to the court, they now have a couple extra days to do that as well.
The EFF has already done that.
Yes, they announced right away that they're planning on filing an amicus brief, so that's in now. And we've seen other companies come out and say they support Apple in this, but I don't think we've seen other amicus briefs filed yet, or at least I'm not aware of any.
No, and we haven't seen enough companies standing up, in my opinion.
Yeah. And,
you know, we talked yesterday, Jeff, we talked about Sundar Pichai's Google CEO's response, which I characterize as a milquetoast response. I found Google's endorsement of Apple to be disappointing at the very best. Other people need to be making noise about this. This is super important.
Microsoft has been a champion of user privacy and security. I wonder why they've been so quiet.
How has Microsoft? I mean, actually, it seems like Microsoft has always been very quick to sacrifice users to IP holders and the government or anyone else.
I don't know. I was called back in 2015 that Microsoft chief counsel was standing up for some things and fighting against the government in some small ways. I forget the details. I just have a recollection in general of Microsoft trying to do that, and it was a good thing to do, but it was kind of a contrasting move against the insecurities of Android, I think, is a way to separate Microsoft out too. I don't have a distinct issue or event I can point to. I just have that in memory.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think Microsoft's broader history, though, is that it is what Brian said, where Microsoft has been all too quick to roll over and give up our privacies and our personal information at the request of government agencies.
Well, and other corporate powers.
Yes.
In defense of Microsoft, it could have been that the technical requests from the government and the orders, Microsoft had to comply with by law in ways that they just had no recourse to, whereas Apple does have a recourse here. There's a different kind of issue,
and every company should be complying with lawful orders, right? Mm-hmm. Right. None of us here are the government is evil, and we have to stand up.
We're not looking for anarchy.
Yeah, that's not the issue here at all. The issue here is that the only kind of protection we can have against the bad guys also happens to be protection against people that we want to be able to get into our devices on occasion, at least when we're talking about devices that are owned by the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when if Apple has the ability to comply with a lawful warrant, it should do so.
And has.
And has.
Right.
And will do so.
Right. And in this case, I think their response is appropriate because at least as of today, they have been presented with what has been considered a lawful court order. And they're responding to it in the appropriate way by contesting it through the appropriate legal channels.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that is something here. Some of the people who are opposed to my philosophical view on this have been quick to say that Apple is not doing what's right. But part of what's right here is Apple's right to fight this in
yes.
the courts.
Yep, I agree. And I'm glad that they're fighting this because I think that this court order should not have been issued.
Well, that goes to what Congressman Liu yesterday said. He said private sector companies are not and should not be an arm of government or law enforcement. And so pressuring an organization to comply with legal court orders is one thing, but pressuring them by force with court orders to become their enforcement arm is quite a different matter. And Apple, as you said, Jeff, should fight that in legal ways.
Yes. And my guess is that at some point, someone is going to say, look, you know, if you have companies like Apple or Amazon or Google or whoever writing this surveillance code and baking it into their operating systems, and they're doing it at the behest of the federal government, they've now become agents of the government. And if you're an agent of the government, then you're now bound by all the same legal requirements for gathering information about people as if you were the government, which means that if you have an iPhone, for example, that where data is being collected from it and then used against someone in court, that at that point, Apple can't just collect the data and hand it over. They have to have a warrant to collect any information at all. And my guess is because of how easy it is to collect data, that the government would like to continue with mass surveillance where they're not really using warrants. And I can see that backfiring at some point. But, you know, I guess in the end, it doesn't matter if it backfires, because if all the data is accessible and collectible and not protected, it doesn't matter because someone's going to get it anyhow.
Well, that's actually another one of the points that General Hayden made, was that after losing the clipper chip battle in the 90s, the intelligence services, the NSA, entered what he called a golden age of surveillance.
Right. Yeah. And they started doing mass collection of data.
Yeah.
Metadata, telephone metadata, I think you mentioned.
Mass collection of data as well as metadata. And he said that, you know, we found ways to work around the particular clipper agent. A clipper chip thing that they wanted so badly, and he is saying that they'll find a way to work around us having encrypted phones too.
Of course. But in the meantime, at least everything is still encrypted, and we're protected from things like the brute force attack model that the FBI wants to use on this specific iPhone.
And never mind the fact that we don't visibly see some of the things going on behind the scenes, tools that they have at their disposal behind the scenes that they never talk about that are helping against the fight against terrorism. Because if they were divulged, that would be spilling the beans.
Right. Yeah. Hey, we're about out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you here. It's also great to be back. John Martellaro, thank you for being here.
Yeah, I had some Skype dropouts. I hope I came through okay most of the time. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You know, had you not said anything, no one would have ever known. That's how good you were. Listeners, thank you for joining us. It's always great to have you here. We'll see everyone again next week.